You know, if a religion is worth its salt, as it were, if it has anything really to offer to people that is substantial, it is helping people to deal with the mystery of pain and suffering in life. Helping people to try to come to understand, you know, pain and suffering. How to try to make sense out of all the mystery that's involved in pain and suffering in our life. The reality is that if you've lived even short amounts of time and you allow yourself to be present to what is happening in front of you, you will know and experience pain and suffering. If it, and really, it's not so much physical pain and suffering, because you know it's interesting that the body, the human body, just naturally seeks healing. It just moves in that direction. But our soul, our inner being, our psyche, doesn't do that. And so we're constantly trying to search for meaning. And so that pain and suffering, you know, the first time that may come, you know, when all of a sudden you don't get selected for the Little League baseball team. Or maybe you find out that, you know, you're not going to play very much because you're just not gifted athletically. Or maybe later on the pain and suffering comes when, you know, you reach out and want to fall in love with this guy or this girl, and you find out that they don't want to have anything to do with you, you know. Sometime later, pain and suffering, you know, come out when all of a sudden we witness the death of a young person killed in a car wreck. And we say, what's the meaning of that? Or later on, perhaps we witness the death of a little child who is found out that they have some incurable cancer. See, what's the meaning of that? How do you make sense out of that? How do you come to terms with the pain and suffering we experience in life? I think one of the things that we're reminded of today is that the gift that Jesus gives profoundly is that he becomes one with us. That's the whole mystery of the incarnation that we celebrate at Christmas, that God says, I will come and be one with you. I will take on your world. I will enter your world as it is, with all of its limitations. Now, if we listen to, for example, to some of these words from the letter to the Hebrews, Jesus shared in our life that through death he might destroy the one who has the power of death and free those who through fear of death had been subject to slavery all their life. Because he himself was tested through what he suffered, he is able to help those who are being tested. A lot of that is very, very churchy language. And sometimes if we don't unpack that, we don't really kind of understand what we're talking about. But if you think about this, you know, Jesus said, I'm going to enter this world. He entered the world of the first century people and very poor people. And he agonized with them and suffered with them. But he didn't really come and bring them 20th century medicine and all the technology that we have now. He entered the world the way it was. I think that's really important because a lot of times the way we try to portray God is not God who walks with us, but a God who sometimes stands outside of things and kind of controls things. And so oftentimes you will hear people say things like, if God closes a door, he opens a window. Or we will hear people say, God never gives us more to handle than what we are capable of handling. Now, all of that is said by people who are really very sincere, and actually, I think people who are trying to come to terms with the whole mystery of pain and suffering. But you got to step back from that and say, what kind of God is this? If we really believe that kind of stands outside and is doling out difficulties, you know, to us. What kind of God is that? This is not exactly the kind of God that you think is one with us. It's not exactly the kind of God you'd invite to dinner on Sunday, because you're not sure what's going to happen. And if you step back from that, and you know, and I think, again, I think this comes from people who are really very sincere and I think really are trying to deal with pain, the mystery of pain and suffering. And it's kind of like we want to pray for God's intervention to somehow kind of intervene and stop the natural flow of things and make things different. Or we would say to pray for a miracle. I always think we got to be careful of that, because if we pray for a miracle and it doesn't happen, what kind of God is that? And of course, we try to compensate for that by saying, well, God answers all our prayers. He just doesn't answer them the way that we might want them to be answered. You know, well, even that, I mean, if you think about that image of God and you say, God, this, what is it? And I think this is your answer. And God's saying, no, it's not my answer. You got to think more about it. And it's like, well, is it this? No, you're not even getting close. Got to think some more? No, that's not it either. I mean, really, what kind of God is that? That somehow plays with our feelings and our emotions and says, no, you didn't quite get it right there. No, I'm not going to. Yeah, I'm going to do it over here. I'm not going to do it over there. You think, in the end, as sincere as people are about that, and I believe that they are, in the end, that kind of image of God is really not going to do it. But what we have, I think, with God, when we hear things like, we say those things, through God shared in our life so that through death he might destroy the one who has the power of death and free those who through fear of death have been subject to slavery all their life. They use the term death, not so much to be physical death, but they're talking about things that are bigger than us, things that are beyond our control. And God comes into this world and says, I am going to teach you how to allow these things to happen and to allow them to be your teachers. I'm going to allow them to help you grow in your life. You know, I find myself, especially, I've probably said this before, but you know, since I've been recovering from my broken kneecap and going to doctors more than I've really gone to doctors, and I see the, you know, just the wonderful things that are available to me because I happen to live here now, that are not available to the vast majority of people in the world. I think about all our friends down in Haiti who would have none of this. And I look at that and I say, it just breaks my heart. How can it be? How did I, through no real effort on my part, that I happen to be born here in southern Indiana at this time and not in Haiti. How did that happen? And that I have the blessings of all of this, and meanwhile, if this happened to any number of people in Haiti, there would be nothing for them. It's like, how do you hold all of that? And you say, can the pain of that, which is truly pain, how can that be redemptive suffering for me? What can it do for me? You know, can it make my heart bigger? Can it make me more grateful? Can it make me more conscious of more people in the world who do not have the blessings that we have? What's that going to motivate me to do? That, I think, is the power of redemptive suffering. And, you know, Jesus came and said, what I'm going to give you is the courage to just deal with what is in front of you and to know that I am in all of that. I am in all of that. And to not, to resist the temptation, really, to resist the temptation to ask why questions, which really aren't very good, to resist the temptation to not be engaged with what's in front of you, to resist that and to be present with it and to allow it to be your teacher. That's really what the path of Jesus offers to us.